Welcome to the Functional Medicine Podcast with Dr. McMinn and Coach Lindsay. We're coming to you from McMinn Clinic in Birmingham, Alabama, where Dr. McMinn is an integrative and functional MD, and Lindsay Matthews is a registered nurse and IIN certified health coach. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the latest information on a wide range of topics in the field of functional medicine, which looks for the root cause of disease, and integrative medicine, which incorporates both conventional and alternative therapies. Our overall goal is to help you be the best that you can be in mind, body, and spirit. The following discussion is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. Please do not apply any of this information without approval from your personal doctor. And now, on to the show with Dr. McMinn and Coach Lindsay.
Hello, and a warm welcome to you to the Functional Medicine Podcast, the evidence-based podcast on integrative and functional medicine. It's so good to have you with us, and I thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Jim McMinn, and I'm here today with our co-host, nurse, and certified health coach, Ms. Lindsay Matthews. I'm excited about our topic today. We're going to be discussing health optimization, mind, body, and spirit. We feel that it's not enough just to treat disease, but instead we want to help you become the very best version of yourself so that you can enjoy vibrant living. However, let me first get a few housekeeping duties out of the way. Coach and I have decided to keep this podcast commercial-free so that you won't be bothered by those annoying and sometimes disingenuous ads, and so that we can avoid even the appearance of a financial conflict of interest. This seems to infect so many other podcasts. However, it does cost us money to produce these podcasts, so think of us like public radio and consider making a contribution to help us keep this unbiased, evidence-based, valuable information coming to you. There are a couple ways you can do this. First, if you have needs for nutritional supplements, you can consider purchasing vetted physician-grade supplements from my FullScript dispensary at a 10% discount. You can see a link to FullScript below in the show notes. It's quite simple. Just click the link and they'll guide you through the process. You can also make a contribution to the show directly via credit card or by PayPal at the Support the Show link, which is also in the show notes below. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and to hit the notifications button so you'll be notified when our future episodes come out. We're trying to get them out more frequently these days. While you're in the show notes, you can also see my Facebook link. And oh, by the way, I just started a Facebook group. It's called Functional Medicine with Dr. McMinn. So check it out and join us. Hope to see you there. And now, without further delay, on to the show. Good morning, Coach Lindsay. It's always so wonderful to visit with you. Please catch us up on the exciting events around the Matthews household.
Oh, thank you, Dr. McMinn. It's good to be back with all you listeners. You know, we do have a busy household, little ones running around. Josiah has just started taking off. He's walking everywhere, Dr. McMinn. So that's fun. And we do have a new little fur friend that has arrived in our house.
Isn't that exciting? Tell me about it.
Yes. It's, you know, we have one cat and then this cat, additional cat, showed up and he has just hung around. So we named him Burglar so that we can point at him and say, this is our cat Burglar.
Yeah.
And Mary Ellen has trouble with that pronunciation. Mm-hmm. So she tries to call him Burger, but what comes out is Booger. So we have a cat named Booger at our house.
That's great. Do you still have the chickens? And
You know, we have not ramped back up on chickens, but we're looking to this summer. All of our coyotes got them, or the hawks and things, and we just didn't ever ramp back up after the kids were born. So, but we're ready now to take on chickens again, especially with the price of eggs these days.
Yeah. Now, do you have still plenty of water moccasins?
Yes. Unfortunately, they're in the backyard along with the timber rattler snakes.
Oh my gosh. Lindsay, you live an exciting life.
Yes.
Yeah.
But thank you.
I don't envy you. Well, I'll be sure not to tell Dr. Cheryl. She'll never come out and visit you again. If she knows you got all the snake there.
Right.
She is not a snakeophile for sure. Well, anyway, you know, Coach Lindsay, over the years, we've had so many people come to see us at the clinic with some specific problems. For instance, high blood pressure, cholesterol, autoimmune disease, gut problems, you know, that kind of stuff. But there are also a lot of folks, women and men, who didn't have a specific disease per se. They just felt kind of blah. Life was like a sort of black and white movie instead of a color movie.
those people would come in with complaints like low energy or just, you know, trouble getting out of bed in the morning, low motivation, maybe even some brain fog, just feeling kind of low mood, or perhaps having trouble with a little bit of weight, not sleeping well, just generalized discomfort, aches and pains, or as we like to say, no mojo.
There we go.
But the bottom line, they were certainly not optimized, not the best version of themselves.
You know, most of those patients, Coach, had a pretty good primary care doctor. I knew a lot of those doctors. They're good doctors. But the doctors, unfortunately, didn't have time to or just weren't trained in dealing with these kind of issues. And so ultimately, they tended to ignore these complaints. And I guarantee you that these doctors had never, not even once, had a course or a lecture on low energy, even though it's kind of the number one complaint of our patients. I just don't understand it. Go figure.
Right. We hear it all the time from patients where, you know, the doctor will get the labs back and everything looks good, no problem, everything looks normal. And so they'll tell the patient there's nothing wrong. Perhaps you're just stressed. Or maybe this is just part of the aging process for you. You'll be fine. You'll get used to it.
You know, Coach, this is very what I call invalidating
right.
for the patient. They know that they don't feel well and that there's something wrong with them, but they get entirely dismissed by their doctor or their provider. And it makes them feel like they're losing their mind or just being a hypochondriac. Now, Coach, that kind of happened with your husband, didn't it, years ago when he had like dysautonomia, right?
Yeah, that's right. We went to all the doctors
mm-hmm.
When he was just starting to have these issues of chest pain and low energy, and then it just cascaded. But yeah, we went to neurology, who said, "Here, you're stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some Xanax."
Mm-hmm.
We went to GI doctor, and everything looked normal there. We did
mm-hmm.
cardiac workup; stress test was normal. So yes, we went through mm-hmm. that battering ram.
And it turned out to be the dysautonomia. And we did a wonderful podcast
right.
with Tyler on that issue. If y'all want to go back and take a listen to it, and we hope to have him back on the show again soon. He's had a lot of progress, and so we want to hear all about that. So he's agreed to come back with us one of these days.
Yes, thanks, mm-hmm. Dr. Mack.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about that topic where we want to help optimize patients. And so another similar scenario that might be, you know, instead of that going to the doctor and seeing all the labs are normal, or is just someone's feeling pretty good, like I'm feeling fine, but maybe not their best. And so we see these patients that want to get optimized and reach their full potential.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to focus our show today on optimization, how to become the very best version of yourself in mind, body, and spirit. Now, Coach, I wish that medical students had a course on optimization in their
right.
training. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah,
yes.
But unfortunately, they don't. We tend to totally ignore it in modern medicine. We tend to focus more on put up more of our energy and focus more on treating disease, which is important, Coach. I mean, certainly
right.
we need folks out there treating disease. And, of course, our tools are generally drugs and surgery. But we also need to attend to the fundamentals of good health, improving the quality of life, and thereby preventing disease and reaching our optimal potential. So what to do, Coach?
Right. How do we move from just surviving to thriving?
Mm-hmm.
As we hear that phrase out there. So I think like most things in medicine, Dr. McMahon, it always starts with our fundamentals. The first thing out of the box is, of course, we've got to be aware that there's even a problem or that we want to change something. And so that's that light bulb when you realize that you're not where you want to be, you're not optimal, and time to move forward. So you just decide that you want to live your very best life in mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. And the next step is then intention. And that's where you go from awareness to actually doing something about it. There are a lot of people out there who are aware that they're, for instance, overweight, but they have no intention of changing the way they live their life in order to lose weight.
And then the next step is moving forward, having a plan. And that's where it can be really helpful to find an engaged, knowledgeable, and experienced provider or health coach even to help you put together a personalized wellness optimization plan.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to have action on that plan and accountability. Doesn't do any good to have a plan, Coach, if you're not going to stick to it and move forward.
Exactly, exactly. You know, I've heard of this progression in terms of first you're unconsciously incompetent, and then second, you become consciously aware that you're incompetent, and then third, you're in that stage where you're working so hard to consciously become competent, and then finally, you reach that place where you're unconsciously competent, and you're just gliding along. And I love kind of thinking about that progression because it also gives you the hope that when you're in that stage where you're just so consciously trying to make decisions and you feel like you're fighting this uphill battle, there is coming the momentum of where you become unconsciously competent at it and it carries itself and it does become easier and one change leads to the next and you have this energy in that change. And anyway, sometimes when you initially think about making a change, it feels overwhelming. And I like to remind people that as you get moving, there's a momentum that helps carry you forward.
You just have to take that first baby step, Coach, and then take it step by step, stone by stone, right?
Yes. And that's how we get to behavioral change.
Before you know you have a cathedral that you've built, right?
So. That's right. As my dad always told me, you know, he's a basketball coach, and he would say, how do you eat the moose? One bite at a time.
There we go.
One bite at a time. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, we're talking about behavioral change here and ways that you can improve the way you live your life, which then will lead to optimally improving your health.
Now, practically speaking, you might want to start by taking an inventory of your life. And do you have any bad habits such as smoking? Certainly, you'll want to start by cleaning these up. Also, if you have any acute or chronic diseases, then you'll have to attend to these issues as well. So, for instance, if you have blood sugar that's out of control or high blood pressure, you need to manage these as you move forward with your optimization plan. Who knows, as you focus on the fundamentals that we talk about in this podcast, and some of these chronic problems might just go away or get better. We've seen a lot of patients, Coach, over the years, haven't we, who they get on a plan, they lose some weight, next thing you know, they're getting off their blood pressure medicines. It's incredible. So I think sometimes you can cure these other diseases or get off a lot of pills by just attending to your fundamentals.
Yes, exactly. So our goal is always to use evidence-based, integrative, and functional medicine to really get to the bottom of this and to help patients get back to feeling well and reach their optimized state.
There we go, Coach. And like most things in medicine, really, it starts with what I call lifestyle medicine. Wellness and optimization really start at the cellular level, since the cells are the building blocks of your entire body.
Exactly. And it's generally through lifestyle medicine that we are going to be able to create these healthy cells. You've got to give those cells the proper nutrition, oxygen, and blood supply that they need.
And you also want to things like avoid toxins, which is like putting a monkey wrench in the gears of the cells. By the way, Coach, I was thinking about this. Do young people know what a monkey wrench is?
You know, it might be good to kind of give an example. to define it.
So nowadays, kids are really good at, figuring out the iPhone, but they never change the tire, for instance.
Right. No, we don't have the common knowledge street skills anymore.
So back
anymore.
When I was growing up, you had a toolbox, and one of the tools in your toolbox was called a monkey wrench, which is this little adjustable wrench that we used. So it was very handy to have. But you can imagine if you have this machine that has a bunch of gears and you throw like this wrench in the gears, it's going to stop the gears and stop the machine. So that's where that analogy comes from. But for more information about toxins, check out our excellent, if I don't say so myself, podcast on toxins in this podcast. Guest number 22. And by the way, Coach, I was very disheartened recently to find out that dark chocolate contains a lot of lead. Because I love dark chocolate.
Yes.
That's my treat. I got rid of the ice cream with the dark chocolate, and now I find dark chocolate has.
Right. But,
which is kind of interesting because, sometimes people come in with some awful chronic disease, and we're trying to look for the underlying cause, and down the road we'll do a heavy metal test, and it shows, boom, got lead. I said, well, doctor, how can I have lead? And so, it's just subtle things like this, dark chocolate or whatever. It's ubiquitous. I think as much as we can sort of avoid toxins, and if necessary, of course, if you have diseases, see a doctor and get your toxins checked and do a detoxification.
Right. And of course, we did that good podcast earlier.
Yeah.
So listeners, go back and reference that one. That one was a solid podcast.
It was number 22.
One of the first things to attend to make sure that also is just in optimization is a good night's sleep. The more we learn about sleep, the more we can appreciate its profound importance for our overall health. And maybe we can circle around to that another day, Dr. McMinn, and do just a separate podcast on the topic of sleep. But really, the bottom line we want to say here is it's a high priority, and we need to do whatever it takes to really get a good night's sleep. That's a foundation for mm-hmm. optimal wellness. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that could be a good conversation with your provider as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, chronic sleep deprivation directly affects every aspect of brain health. Mm-hmm. And however, as an old Chinese medical proverb says, the body is a puppet of the mind. So poor sleep trickles down to things like fatigue, brain fog, heart problems, cancer, gut issues, dementia, increased mortality, just to name a few, Coach.
Mm-hmm. And so folks, if you're one of those people, like, you know, Dr. McMinn and I both were there at one day mm-hmm. where we were working the night shift, it might be time to consider making a change. Really, working those PM shifts can take years off your life, unfortunately.
Yeah, Coach, I worked in the ER for about 20 years, and most of them night shifts. So been there, done that. But, you know, Coach, every time I pass the hospital at night and look up, it reminds me of how grateful I am for the doctors,
yes.
nurses, orderlies, respiratory techs, lab techs, and all the other wonderful people who were there up all night helping people and saving lives. Yes. And, you know, Coach, I got to extend this to firemen and firewomen and, you know, things like police people and so many other people who are out there you know, doing things all night to help the rest of us out. However, I'm just saying, Coach, at some point it does take a toll on your health. So these people definitely have to take that into consideration.
Right. And, you know, some people can claim that they're night people, but it's just not necessarily a matter of how much sleep you're getting, the hours you're getting, but it's syncing with circadian rhythms that is so important when we talk about your health. So even our microbiome has a circadian rhythm. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. We've evolved for eons of time in sync with the sun and the moon, and to ignore that connotation, that connection, there's a price to be paid for it.
Mm-hmm. The next fundamental for optimal health is proper nutrition. And we've done a couple of podcasts on this, and so we're not going to repeat ourselves to a great degree. However, let's just kind of summarize. It starts with whole food, not processed food. And from there, each person has to find the diet that suits his or her own needs. So at the end of the day, it could be the Dr. McMinn diet or the Coach Lindsay diet, and they're probably not quite the same. The variation is based on a lot of different factors, and this may take some trial and error to ultimately get to the optimal diet for you. But it's uber important to work on it and to find the diet that's right for you. So for instance, Coach, if somebody has a lot of inflammation, then we want to be on an anti-inflammatory diet, right? And
right.
So if they have certain gut conditions, they might want to be on a FODMAP diet.
Right.
And so
mm-hmm.
anyway, you might want to listen to podcast number 10 and number 25 for more in-depth information about nutrition. And by the way, you might be able to find this perfect diet for you on your own, but if you need help, check out our friend Rachel Olson. Remember,
yes.
if you go back and listen to that podcast on nutrition with Rachel, you'll immediately see that she's amazingly bright and knows her stuff, and she's here locally in Birmingham, but also I think she has a presence online, so check her out, and if you need help, she deals with people both locally and remotely, and I'm sure she can help you.
You know, Dr. McMinn, I think people are so willing to spend money for, you know, like they understand spending money on dermatology or like mm-hmm. just, I don't know, other things. But sometimes we're not willing to spend the extra money on food or the extra money on people that could help us understand food.
mm-hmm.
But we eat three times a day for our entire mm-hmm. life, and yet we don't
yeah.
prioritize it. It's, you know, I think of it so much as a parent of, I want to give my children the skills of knowing how to eat. And I think mm-hmm. that is one of the most important life skills that mm-hmm. I can impart to them. And I think sometimes we just don't realize how or prioritize with our finances or our time how important nutrition is.
Mm-hmm. You know, Coach, it was kind of interesting. Just I think it was day before yesterday, my friend Matt White sent me this really interesting article about how food is genetic information for your cells.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating. I think we kind of think of it in terms of calories, and we might go so far to break it down to macronutrients and micronutrients, but it's even deeper than that. And so back to the concept of how optimization starts with cellular health.
Yes.
You know, we gotta feed our cells the right stuff so they can be healthy. So anyway.
Yes. We literally are what we eat.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
And so while we're on this topic of nutrition, I want to briefly also mention the issue of supplementation. Of course, Dr. Mack, you and I both agree that we should get most of our nutrients from the food that we eat. And most regular doctors even would say that a lot of vitamins can just result in really expensive urine.
Right.
However, let's take vitamin D, for instance. There's published studies showing improvements in diabetes prevention, gut health, dementia, dementia prevention, colorectal cancer prevention, and just simply with supplementing vitamin D. So there's an important supplement right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And similar, we support the scientific literature on probiotics, fish oil, bioflavonoids, and other supplements. This is not science, but we've had many anecdotal reports of symptoms improved from our patients with things like, for instance, curcumin for achy joints, digestive enzymes and probiotics for gut issues. And the list goes on, Lindsay, of things we've heard back from our patients on over and over and over again. So perhaps we'll circle back around one of these days and do a separate podcast on nutritional supplements. However, at this point, I'm haunted by a patient who once told me, doctor, I don't need another doctor telling me to eat more spinach. So at this point, we'll move on from nutrition and on to our next topic.
That's a good one, Dr. Rinkman. The next foundation for optimization that we'll briefly mention too is movement or exercise. You know, if you had a goldfish tank sitting on the shelf and one day you saw that one of the fish wasn't swimming for the entire day, you'd know that the game is over. That fish is fixing to die. So the same is true with humans. We are meant to move.
For real, for real. And the science is unequivocal on this subject as to the overall health benefits of exercise for mind, body, and spirit. Kind of like sleep, exercise affects just about everything. Cellular health, brain health, bone health, heart health, cancer, dementia, energy, and even more. Exercise also affects your gut microbiome, Lindsay, and it also affects your hormones, including stress hormones, insulin, and some sex hormones. Exercise also increases your feel-good neurotransmitters. There was actually a study published in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association Psychiatry, which showed that a significant reduction in major depressive disorder just with exercise. Go figure, coach.
Right. Our lives tend to be pretty sedentary these days. Many folks find themselves sitting behind a desk all day long. And you know what they say, sitting is the new smoking, as far as our health is concerned. And although we certainly recommend daily exercise, studies have shown that just a bit of exercise can't erase the 8 to 10 hours of sitting. So it's really important to kind of get some more consistent movement throughout your day. So consider setting your phone or watch to remind you to get up every hour or so and move around. Do some walking or a brief stretch session. Consider having a standing desk at work or a vary desk where you can adjust or accommodate that desk to sitting or standing positions.
Yeah, that vary desk is interesting. It's a brand, V-E-R-I. You can find them online, and a lot of people really like them. So if you feel like standing, you can lift it up and stand. If you feel like sitting, you can sit. At one point, Coach, I actually had a treadmill desk in my office. I got this little treadmill for like less than $100, and I just erected a platform on it. And so sometimes when I was just doing charts or whatever, reviewing something, I would be slowly walking on the treadmill. Likewise, you could put an inexpensive bike under your standing desk, and therefore you can kind of break your day up and try to get a little exercise as your day goes through. Anything you can do to break up that 8 hours of sitting would be helpful.
And the four areas that we really need to attend to with movement are cardio, strength, flexibility, and balance. Maybe one day we'll get an exercise expert on the show to help delve into this in detail. But again, this is a huge subject by itself, so we don't really have time to explore all those areas in detail in this particular podcast. But just understanding that there's more than one component to getting good movement for your health.
When it comes to exercise, Coach, I feel the key is really consistency over a lifetime.
Yes.
So many people will make a New Year's resolution and they'll get a Peloton or buy a gym membership and then they'll kind of fizzle out. And in February, the Peloton becomes a very expensive clothes rack. One more thing on exercise, it's never too late to start. If you've never been an exerciser before, don't worry. You can still start at any time. Try to find something that you actually enjoy or at least can tolerate. If it's drudgery, you're just not going to keep up with it. And so you want to try and find something you can enjoy. Also, find something that won't get you hurt. You know, I think especially as we get older, you know, it takes longer to recover. So you might want to keep that in mind. You may have to have a consultation with your doctor before you start exercising, make sure you're okay to do that. But another key is accountability. Yes. If it's your nature to be accountable to yourself, then great, go for it. If not, you might want to consider getting a trainer. But trainers can cost a lot of money, so you might want to try to find a good friend and see if you can have some agreement to be workout buddies and hold each other accountable. Sometimes doing group exercise, like a spinning class, can also help motivate you and help you be accountable.
Yes. Moving on, another underappreciated foundation of lifestyle medicine is socialization. Multiple studies have demonstrated the importance of socialization for mind, body, and spirit health. According to Harvard Medical School, this even affects mortality. As we get older, sometimes we become more isolated, so we have to find ways to mix it up with people. Certainly, COVID did a whole number on us as a society in this department, and I think that this had a major impact on psychological health in all ages, especially for the very young and the very old.
So other aspects of lifestyle medicine that we don't really have time to go into in great detail today include things like adequate hydration, stress reduction, and stress management, strong community, loving relationships, making time for fun and pleasure, spending time connecting with nature, limiting screen time, and getting some direct daily sunlight, and also limiting your alcohol intake.
So, Dr. McMahon, what can we do beyond the fundamentals? Let's transition here and talk about advanced prevention. Certainly, it's hard to be at your best if you're dealing with things like heart disease or cancer. However, prevention is not a one-size-fits-all proposition either.
There's an old saying that you're only as strong as your weakest link. I know years ago, I used to listen to this guy named Eric Braverman. He wrote some pretty good books, and he had this phrase, you're only as young as your oldest part. That was kind of interesting. So you need to work with your provider to find those weak links and to shore them up based on your personal history, your family history, labs, risk factors. Each person has a certain different risk profile. Therefore, each person needs a different approach to prevention.
So, for instance, if a patient says that everybody in my family dies of heart disease and they have a lot of personal risk factors and some labs that raise cardiac concerns as well, then that person should have a specific aggressive cardiac wellness plan. For other people, they might have different concerns on their radar screen, such as cancer or diabetes. So you can then personalize the plan for those patients specifically.
We're actually entering a very new, exciting era. We're starting to use genetics to help personalize medicine. So, for instance, UAB Medical School right here in Birmingham is spending millions of dollars to create a precision medicine institute for this purpose. We see the same trend around the country with other medical facilities, such as the Center for Individualized Medicine in Mayo Clinic. Although somewhat controversial, this seems to be the wave of the future. The controversy stems from the argument that if we spent the same amount of money trying to help people with the basic lifestyle medicine, they would have better outcomes than we would by spending billions of dollars doing genetic analysis for the entire population.
Another important goal would be to maintain ideal body weight. Obesity is associated with so many diseases and even leads to premature death. Oh my goodness, but it's a complicated topic, Dr. Rinkman. There's so many factors that contribute to being overweight and obesity, and these factors are to be personalized. We've got to kind of look at each patient individually.
Mm-hmm. And certainly we have to start with the conversation with diet and exercise.
Right.
But there are so many other factors, some of which are controllable and some are not. We don't have time to delve into all those today in this podcast. However, the main take-home point is that we need to do whatever we can within reason to attain and maintain ideal body weight.
And the next factor that we'll mention as well for optimization is gut health. And as we have mentioned before in our podcast, there's a gut-everything connection. Gut-brain, gut-bone, gut-heart, gut-skin, gut-inflammation, and many more gut connections. And this is a complicated subject. We have done lots of podcasts on this before. So go back and take a listen specifically to podcasts 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 for more information on this important subject. But, you know, we aren't just what we eat, but we are what we digest and absorb.
And for sure.
So that's where gut health is so important.
Mm. Oh my gosh, there's so many aspects of that. it's just hard to not delve into it further, but we must move on. So anyway, another often ignored but very important aspect of health optimization is optimal hormone health. Coach, most doctors are not trained in this and are quite frankly afraid to mess with it, so it often goes unattended. However, as I opened my mind and ramped up and learned about this and expanded my toolbox and added this to my practice, quite frankly, I could hardly believe the amazing results that I got by balancing and optimizing hormones. This includes metabolic hormones like thyroid, when appropriate, sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. This significantly adds to a patient's quality of life, and a recent study suggests that it actually improves their health. These patients would often come in feeling miserable, Coach. I've heard it so many times, doctor, I just want to shoot myself. And they would come back many times after I started treatment with these hormones, and everything was better. The hot flashes, night sweats, brain fog, low energy, all gone, and their mojo was back with Dr. Mac, as my patient Robert used to sing with his silly little jingle. I was quite frankly amazed at the results, and I could have never accomplished these until I began prescribing bioidentical hormone replacement. I would have these women on an anxiety pill, a depression pill, a sleep pill, and whatever, and they still would have been miserable. Coach, if somebody had told me back when I was a regular doctor that I could have these kind of outcomes with my patients, I simply would not have believed them.
Right. That is amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it, Coach?
You know, hormones got a bad rap after the Women's Health Initiative studies came out. But there's many flaws with that study, and there were misleading conclusions that resulted. So this study was done with Premarin and Provera, which are not bioidentical hormones, and which we never use here in practice.
And Coach, it does matter what you use and how you use it. And also, people are very different hormonally, and so the plan has to be very individualized for each patient, not a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all approach. In a recent meta-analysis published by the journal Circulation, which is a major medical journal, revealed a 27% reduction in mortality in women who started hormone replacement therapy around the time of menopause.
Wow.
Not too many things are more important than life and death, Coach. I'm just saying, 27% is huge. Now, Coach, again, I think women have been done a great disservice by the medical community that only focuses on that WHI study. Look at this once again, this study from a major medical journal called Circulation.
Right.
And if you're dealing with a 27% reduction in mortality, that is huge.
Right. That's so significant. And another large...
Not to mention quality of life, right?
Right, exactly. Right. Yes. Another large 7 million woman study confirmed an improved mortality with hormone replacement therapy, and found a 20% reduction in all cancers, including a reduction in breast, lung, endometrial, colorectal, and ovarian cancer for those using hormone replacement therapy.
Another focus of your attention for overall health optimization should be your brain health. Especially as we get older, things tend to slow down. However, I will also mention that even some of my younger patients with fatigue complain of brain fog. Remember, fatigue has many friends, and brain fog is one of them. It happens quite often. We did a whole podcast on brain health with my good friend, Dr. Locken, so you might want to check that out. That's podcast number 12. However, it is worth noting that not all brain health is dementia, but when it comes to dementia, not all dementia is Alzheimer's. For instance, people can have Parkinson's dementia, Lewy body dementia, vascular dementia, and so on. So think broadly about your overall approach to brain health, and of course, don't forget to use it or lose it when it comes to brain health.
Right. And of course, let's also talk about the subset with brain health, which is mental health, and in the context specifically of things like anxiety and depression. These conditions can, of course, be circumstantial, or they may be secondary to some other problems. For instance, where in the past we've mentioned the gut-brain connection, we can contribute to depression or anxiety there. Also, certain genetic mutations like COMT may increase a person's likelihood to suffer with anxiety.
Yeah, by the way, that COMT stands for catecholamine O-methyltransferase, just to let you know about that if you want to look it up. We do encourage folks to engage in some sort of regular mind-centering technique. You pick what works for you. Some examples would be things like meditation, mindful yoga, biofeedback. And again, the science is quite strong, indicating these techniques have very real benefits for overall health. For more information about this, check out the wonderful book, The Relaxation Response, by Dr. Herbert Benson, MD, a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And Coach, let me say that years ago, when I lived in Boston, I took a meditation course, and I always found it difficult. I never could really seem to relax my mind like they said I should. More recently, I found this thing I do called Kirtan, K-I-R-T-A-N meditation, and it's really worked better for me. What I'm getting at, I think there are different forms of meditation, and you might want to try some other things that work for you. Like a lot of things, it has to be customized for the person. But the Kirtan is quite good. Actually, there's I go to YouTube, and there are lots of YouTube videos. I kind of follow along with that. It helps. Yeah.
It sounds like a great resource.
And I think there's really a lot of great science about how it improves mental health and blood pressure, and it has so many powerful effects.
Yes. I think it's so important to just engage your body in that relaxation and, just even for small breaks, move away from that fight flight response that so often we're engaged in, even though there's not a tiger literally chasing us anymore, where that fight flight response would be helpful. But we need to engage that other relaxation response so our body can be optimal. And, just for the small example of blood sugar, our blood sugar is so much more optimized if we're not always in fight flight mode, where that cortisol level is driving it up and things like that. So,
yeah, Coach, I just finished listening to a really interesting book called Solve for Happy. I forget the author's name, I'm sorry, but it's called Solve for Happy. But, he talks about, being in the moment. And I guess to some degree that's what meditation's about,
Right.
And it's really interesting. I think we spend most of our time in worrying about the past or the future, don't we?
Yes.
And if you think about, okay, what's going on right now at the moment, it's usually not that bad. So I think, trying to be in the moment. I've introduced something in my life. I'm working on it. Lots of things to work on, Lindsay. When I wake up in the morning, especially now I'm retired, one of the first things I do before breakfast, I'll go out on the back porch and try to get some direct sunlight and do some stretching and stuff like that. And part of my morning ritual is I listen to NPR.
Yes.
And I used to carry my radio out there. Well, I stopped carrying my radio out there, and I just try to be here, be now with the sunlight, with the birds chirping, and so that's just one example of being here in the moment, trying to absorb all those wonderful things around you and not instead be with the war in Ukraine or whatever, as much as you can sort of cut out that kind of chatter and try to be present in your moment. And I think meditation will help you learn to do that.
Yes. Let's move on to the issue of intimacy. Now, we realize that this does not apply to everyone out there listening. However, for those who have intimacy as part of their lives, then the things that we have listed above can certainly play a role in keeping the fire burning. We've seen it time and time again when you get to people's energy back and their hormones optimized and take away barriers like ED or erectile dysfunction or vaginal dryness and pain with intercourse, then things can come alive again. And many people find this to be very rewarding and contribute to their overall quality and enjoyment of life.
And Coach, at the outset, we mentioned optimization in mind, body, and spirit. And we talked about the mind and body already. So let's now wrap this podcast up with a few thoughts on spirit. Now, let me start by saying that I am not making any assumptions here about the spiritual leanings of our listeners. We may have friends out there who are Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Jews, agnostics, atheists, whatever. And we love you all. Mm-hmm. However, Coach, I know you're a woman of faith. So please take a moment to share your personal thoughts about how spiritually contributes to your overall wellness.
Thanks, Dr. McMahon. Yes, my faith as a follower of Jesus, a worshiper of a divine creator, is crucial to my health. It gives purpose to my life. The Bible says that without vision, people perish. And I think that's just speaking to purpose and hope. So faith ignites my life with purpose beyond just my day to day. It helps me with the struggles and gives me a hope for a future beyond this life. And hope is good medicine, as I've heard you say, Dr. McMahon.
It sure is.
And so that hope and joy make me feel more alive. Connecting to my creator connects me to the greatest function that I feel like I'm designed for, and that gives me the best energy flow in my life.
So. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay, Coach, I do think it's possible to be a spiritual person without necessarily being a member of a church or organized religion.
Yes.
And some other strategies for spiritual well-being for believers and non-believers would be things like having a sense of purpose in life, to live mindfully, to love deeply, to find time for fun and pleasure, to focus on loving relationships, to have a strong sense of community and spending time connecting with nature, and to practice loving kindness and service to others.
And
anything to add to that list?
No, I think that's beautiful. And Dr. McMahon, that was always one of the things that I have loved being a part of with your practice. And that was, you know, the foundation of the practice was always loving kindness and also bringing people hope. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think, truly the most powerful medicine. And I love that about you as a physician. So another powerful tool to bring that can bring joy and spiritual well-being is an active practice of gratitude. And I have really seen this be incredibly powerful in my life, mm-hmm. Tyler's life. We take so many things for granted, and we all have funk in our lives, but on a daily basis, it can help us spiritually to take moment to moment to feel gratitude for the grace that's come our way. You know, and just a really specific example, you know, when we were in the dark days with Tyler's dysautonomia and we just did not know what was happening, that was before we had a diagnosis, before we knew anything that was going on, and kind of in that between phase of all the specialists said, you're fine, and we knew he wasn't fine. We started just every night before bed, what are the three things you're grateful for? And that really would help Tyler specifically at night. It would help me because I obviously, as a partner to someone with a chronic illness like that, with all the uncertainties, it was very hard on my health as well. But just practicing those three gratitudes every night has been huge for us. You go to sleep with a deeper sense of peace. You sleep better. and that's something that we're teaching our daughter as well. So every night when we tuck her in bed, that's one of the things we end with prayer is, you know, what are you grateful for today?
Yeah, I start, I kind of flip it around. I start my every single day before I even get out of bed with what I call a gratitude prayer.
Maybe I need to sandwich my day then, Dr. McMahon. I think I'm going to adopt your practice too.
Well, I think it starts your day on a positive note. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, just take a moment before you even get out of bed just to think about all the things you have to be grateful for. As we wrap this up, we encourage you to be the captain of your ship and to steer your ship towards the optimal wellness. We have tried to give you a few guideposts that you can use for yourself. You may look around and say, well, I can do this on my own, or you might need to find a provider or a health coach that you can work with to help you reach your optimal goals.
But, you know, at the end of the day, that provider can't come home with you and monitor what's going in your mouth and how often you exercise. So you need to be an empowered patient and find a way to be accountable in order to reach your physical, social, and emotional wellness potential.
That will about do it for this episode of the Functional Medicine Podcast. We hope that we were able to share some information with you that was helpful for you.
Take a moment, folks, to give us that 5-star ratings on iTunes, please. Those reviews really do make a difference. And by the way, they do make this kind of difficult to do. So we have written out directions for you on how to do this on your iPhone, and you can find that below in the show notes.
And also, please help us grow by telling your friends and family about us. Word of mouth really helps as well. And now, Coach Lindsay, can you leave us with the final Coach Lindsay pearl of wisdom for today?
Thanks, Dr. McMahon. You know, I used to listen to this sleep relaxation meditation before going to bed, and it was a recording. And one of the things that it said up at the very front was, if you can make your, and of course it was in that beautiful, like, if you can make yourself, you know, like this like right. sing-songy voice, but I won't try to interpret that, but or try to replicate that. But it would say, you know, if you can make yourself 5 to 10% more comfortable, go ahead and do that right now. Mm-hmm. And that was always really helpful to me, rather than like this ambiguous, like, go ahead and make yourself more comfortable. Like, to me, make the minor adjustment. Okay, well, maybe I just need to move my shoulder over just a little bit, and then I'll be a little bit better. But, you know, I think I just want to encourage our listeners to start there. What is your 5 to 10% action point today? What could you do that would increase your health by 5%? And go ahead and do it. I think it's when we talk about optimization, it seems like a really big concept or a lofty goal. Like, I want to be more healthy. Okay, well, yeah, join the line. We all do. You know, who wouldn't say that at the end of the day? Yeah. But it's really important to break that down and be specific, and then write those goals, and then have the follow-up milestones where you're readdressing those goals and resetting them. Like, go ahead and do the 5% again in a month. What would that look like then?
Yeah, Coach. Well, optimization is certainly not an on-off switch, is it?
No,
it's a process. So I'm from Alabama, and I have a right to use a football analogy, don't I, Coach?
Of course, Roll Tide.
If we were Kentucky, we'd use the basketball analogy. But
that's great.
But you know, we have this guy here in Alabama named Coach Nick Saban, which you may be familiar with.
I guess we've heard of him.
Yeah. Well, he has this thing called the process, right? And he said, you don't think about winning or losing. You don't think about the score. You think about the process, you know, about this play.
Yes.
This moment, right? And similarly, I think we shouldn't necessarily go into this thinking, okay, it's so daunting to think about getting from here to optimization. You just engage yourself in the process and take it day by day, step by step, stone by stone, and start working on these fundamentals and continually improving. And then, boom, you'll get there eventually. It'll sneak up on you.
Yes. Right? Yes. Beautiful.
And one other thing, Lindsay, you were talking about some app you're using. Well, I think that that's another thing to mention about meditation. There are a lot of great meditation apps out there now. And I think you've mentioned a couple, Insight Timer,
Calm
Headspace.
Calm is also one. Yes. All those are excellent.
Some really good ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, that should about wrap it up for this episode. Thank you for doing it with me.
Thank you, Dr. McMinn, and thank you, listeners, for listening.
And this is Dr. James McMinn.
And this is Coach Lindsay.
Take care and be well.